welcome to the AFP Hour. This is your host, Mark Anderson, AFP editor. And tonight we're going to talk about something I've talked about on this show a little bit and on my prior RBN show, When Worlds Collide, and that's grassroots tyranny. Now, grassroots tyranny is the disturbing, and we'd like to think, non-existent phenomenon. We don't really want to face the fact that even local government really isn't out to protect our freedoms and, in fact, is often hostile toward freedom. Nevertheless, even the most local government, especially in the United States, can be very hostile toward basic liberties of property rights. They can be just as eager to impose heavy taxation as anyone. In fact, I'm a known critic in some circles of what's called township government. Townships are an absolutely unnecessary level of government. Absolutely, positively unnecessary in every conceivable aspect. All they do is duplicate county and city services. They turn the countryside into an overregulated cityscape. And those states that have townships are generally far worse off economically, politically, and so on than those states that don't have townships. An example is Texas, where this network is based, RBN. Texas has no township government, and they are absolutely better off. Michigan, on the other hand, for example, has it, and then the townships decide to be charter townships and so on. But the point is that local government, we'd like to think, is that that redoubt, that place where we can lick our wounds from the higher levels of government and maybe find some redress of our grievances. But too often, while there are, of course, welcome exceptions, and we applaud those, too often local government is just another version of tyranny, another layer of overregulation, of surveillance, of excessive fees, taxes, and so on and so forth, zoning laws that just make no sense whatsoever. You name it, land division laws. Some of those come down from the state, and the localities just enforce them, of course. But I used to report on the local government beat. And after the break here coming up, we'll have someone who's made a name for herself in pointing out the unaccountability and the abuses of local government, and that's Jennifer Jones from, as you may know, Quartzsite, Arizona, in western Arizona near the California border, I understand, a town of just under 4,000 people, your average town in size, certainly. And she, as some of you may know, has had some very harrowing experiences dealing with the town council of Quartzsite. And this is another of many examples, and I'll mention some of the other ones too tonight, of local government run amok. Not your representative for freedom, not your bulwark against the higher levels of government. In fact, many of them are simply lackeys for the state and federal government if they're getting Department of Homeland Security funding or some other connection. Sometimes it's highway or road funding, whatever it might be. He who pays the piper calls the tune, and so on, and so forth. That's how it goes. So Jennifer Jones will give us her hands-on, first-hand experience dealing with the abusive government in so many respects of Quartzsite, Arizona. And, of course, you know, we like to give them a benefit of the doubt. We like to think maybe we're overlooking something here, but from what I've seen, there's not much of that. At any rate, we'll be back after these messages with Jennifer Jones from Quartzsite, Arizona, an independent news reporter as well. Stay tuned.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, You can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back to the July 18 AFP Hour. Coming to you live, I'm your host, Mark Anderson, American Free Press roving editor. Always check out the deal available only through RBN. And, of course, that's 18 weeks of AFP for $17.76. 18 weeks over 4 months of the leading national news weekly in the alternative realm. Call 888-699-NEWS. 18 weeks for $17.76. 888-699-NEWS. News. Check it out, the website, AmericanFreePress.net. Now, unless there's been some technical glitch or some other problem, I believe we have the guest, Jennifer Jones. You out there, Jennifer?
Hey, Mark, I'm here.
Wonderful. Thanks for being on the show. And you've been through a lot lately. Of course, as you told me off the air, you've been watchdog in the local government in Quartzsite for some 3 years. And I don't know all what's happened in that time. Maybe it's been longer. I don't know if you're a lifelong resident there, but on June 28th, as I understand it, and I saw the video, you were very calm, and yet the one of the councilmen, a Mr. Winslow, was very hostile. The mayor was overridden. The mayor's been sort of put out to pasture. You were removed from the meeting by police on Winslow's whim, and you were simply following what any citizen wanting accountability in government would want. You spoke during a public meeting, during the public comment part of the meeting, and yet they treated you like you were an intruder. I mean, I don't know all the, the ins and outs and the nuance here, but take it from there. This is, as I mentioned before the break, another example of grassroots tyranny, a very unfortunate aspect, a obviously in American politics, but take it from there. What's going on here in Western Arizona?
Well, I think that our town of Quartzsite, which, by the way, I wasn't born here. Of course, we don't have a hospital, so I don't think very many people are born here. But like many people, I came here because it's a tourist attraction. A lot of snowbirds come here in the winter for the good weather. And so I came here to start a little pet grooming business. I've been grooming dogs like 26 years. I wanted to be my own boss, you know, and not work as much. And this is sort of like the last bastion of a free market economy. About 100 to 200,000 people might be here on any given day. So even though the town has 3,600 residents, we have a booming winter economy of sales tax and revenues and things that come in. So there's a little more cash to spend here in Quartzsite than maybe a town of a similar size. And it seems that we started to have problems a couple of years ago. We had a succession of mayors who, for one reason or another, either died or resigned or left for health reasons. Quartzsite politics is sort of a rough and tumble game, and you better not have any skeletons in your closet or somebody's going to use it against you. So we lost several mayors, and every time it happened, they would appoint a mayor from amongst the council to be an acting mayor, and then they would appoint one of their friends to be on the council. And everybody woke up one day and realized we had absolutely nobody on the council that was voted in. Now, this was in opposition to a voter-passed initiative that says specifically we had to have an elected mayor. When we finally got an election, a regular election for the office of mayor, there was a gentleman named Ed Foster who'd been going to the meetings with a friend of his, and he kept saying, well, they can't do this. This isn't legal. Why are they doing this? And he started asking questions they didn't want to answer. And so they didn't care much for Ed, and they really didn't care much for him when he ran for mayor. So they tried to run him through the muck, and much to their surprise, he was elected by about 30-something votes. And they were absolutely in a panic. The council, the town manager, were having consultations with each other. I won't say illegal quorum, but take it as you will. But there was a lot of scurrying around town between the time that the votes were cast and the next meeting where the mayor was to be sworn in. So they broke with protocol, and instead of swearing the mayor in at the beginning of the meeting and letting him chair the meeting, they put it on the agenda to swear him in as the very last item. And systematically, in that meeting, the outgoing appointed mayor and the council, with the instruction of the town manager, who I believe put these items on the agenda, they systematically stripped the mayor's position of any power that it had under the town code. The power to declare an emergency, the power to ask for reports from staff, pretty much anything that the mayor was special. He was no longer special. All he had left was his gavel to chair the meeting. And, you know, as you could see on the video from June 28th, they've been trying ever since to find a way to take that from him as well. But when they did...
This is part of a pattern of removing all meaningful authority from the mayoral post. And they wanted to keep a good old boy appointee network. They don't want anything like elections to get in the way.
No, we wouldn't want any of those messy things going on out here. You know,
right. Yeah, this is the democracy our troops defend. Yes, okay.
Yeah,
very interesting.
It's a form of government. You know, the federal laws don't matter. The state laws don't matter. Even our own town code doesn't matter if we don't want it to matter. Why? Because we say so. I mean, they've absolutely... You know, thumb their nose at recognized institutions here in Arizona, like the Goldwater Institute, which told them that it was unconstitutional for them to ban people from running for office against them and set their own standards for candidacy. They said, if you owe us an unpaid water bill or a parking ticket, you can't run for town council. You know, and they told them it's unconstitutional. And when the mayor put it on the agenda for discussion, they wouldn't discuss it. I mean, literally, the mayor, I don't think in a year, has only put one item on the agenda that anyone even seconded for discussion, and that's because it favored them. But when he would make a motion, he finally got sworn in, and the people were angry. The voters were very angry because they were calling in, well, he's the people's mayor. He's finally the mayor after 3 years. We finally have a mayor in there that we elected, and look at what you've done to them. You've disrespected our vote. We voted this man into a certain position as it existed the day we cast our vote. How dare you? And the people were angry. So, of course, you know, they booed and hissed and carried on. And outgoing Mayor Huntley had a fit pounded his gavel, stormed off, and made the vice mayor swear Ed in. And at that moment, whereas politics had were not necessarily pretty, they became, as someone compared recently, much more like a gladiator sport or a Jerry Springer show here. People were just to see what would happen next. You know, what is
does
it going to do?
Does the city have a charter? Does it have what you would call a city constitution or town constitution?
No.
You called it a town code.
We have a town code. We are an incorporated municipality. We are on the verge in Arizona between being the difference between a town and a city. And as near as I can figure, when you're a city, you get more state benefits and grant money. So there's some talk amongst this town manager and council about how wonderful it will be when we finally become a city. Look at how much more we'll get that we don't have to pay for. But
it is a town council.
It is a town council. It is not a strong mayor system. It is a common council form of government, which means each member of council has one vote. And so it's very easy for them to outvote the mayor. And the only real authority he has, unless the state attorney general steps in and says that these ordinances they've been passing are illegal or unconstitutional, as long as they're on the books, the only power he has power of the meeting to chair the meeting. So he's the guy that gets to say, you stay, you go, you know, I call this meeting to order, all of that sort of stuff. We don't strictly enforce Robert's rules because as they were instructed when they were trained, you go, when you get elected, you go to training with a group called the League of Cities and Towns, and they sort of explain to you how to do your job in a loose sense. So we I was just going to say, we don't follow very, very strict Robert's rules. Actually, most of the council, including Mr. Winslow, don't even understand Robert's rules or how they work. He knows point of order. That's his only phrase. But sometimes it seems like parliamentary procedure can be used to impede the process or be used to, you know, to basically for one person to exert power over another. So we follow the rules, but, you know, a call to the public, which is where I was struck out, you know, like I've been criticized for facing the audience. And that's a very common practice. The police chief has done it countless times. Council members have gotten off the dais and stepped up to the podium and turned to the audience, not faced the council. So we're a little lax on some protocol, but the mayor is in charge. And even the insurance pool attorney came and instructed these council members on what they could and couldn't do and tried to get them to play nicely together after Foster was elected. And they even told the council and the police chief specifically that they could not do what they did at that June 28th meeting, and they did it anyway.
Interesting. Now, I would mention real quickly that a lot of those League of Towns, and they're in Michigan, there's the Michigan Townships Association, are not neutral bodies. Don't think for a moment they are. Most of them, if you read their literature closely, are about protecting the governmental body from the people. They're about how to close ranks against they even school people on dealing with controversy, on how to handle controversial citizens. I don't know about that specific group, but very, very much so across the board, these advisory bodies that are, you know, private organizations are not neutral and are intent on coaching local governments on how to marginalize public complaint.
Ironic that you bring that up, though, because the reason that I wanted to talk that night was not just that they had changed the rules again, but we had gotten a tax proposal from the League of Cities and Towns. Apparently, they'd had some revenue-generating commission or something, and they had made an amendment. It was a model tax code amendment.
Hold that thought, Jennifer. We got inevitable messages coming up. We got to watch that a little bit. We'll be right back with more from Jennifer Jones on the Portstead, Arizona saga. Stay tuned.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
And we're returning to the air here on July 18, 2011, continuing our conversation with Jennifer Jones, the independent news writer and activist from Quartzsite, Arizona, who June 28 was forcibly removed during a public comment period of the town council meeting when she was speaking calmly, perfectly within her rights at an open meeting during just the right time of the meeting. And she encountered a very arbitrary exercise of power and hostility from the town council. It's went very viral on YouTube, and we'll tell you in a minute, if you haven't already seen it, how to check it out. And her news sources, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Jennifer, the desertfreedom.blogspot.com?
The Desert Freedom Press.
The desertfreedompress.blogspot.com. Okay, the desertfreedompress.blogspot.com, and I believe you have some notations on there as well as many of these videos of the incident, not just the one I referred to June 28th, but related matters from there and other issues, correct?
Absolutely. You can read all the back issues, and I'm hoping that by tomorrow, in between interviews, I'll actually get the July issue posted to the website.
Yes. Now, I didn't want to get too far into technicalities and side issues, although we've covered some important fundamentals. But what is the current situation? Are you in a situation, you said that June 28th, when you were forcibly removed in a very, from all indications, unjustified manner, that you received an injury to your left elbow. The medical people said it was sprained or torn ligament, and you actually were put under arrest. I mean, really, just for speaking your mind, and as I said, calmly, covering, you know, protocol. I think you might have covered some tax issues. I didn't get every little detail there, but essentially kind of describe what happened there, because this is what is going so viral. And then we'll swing back to the larger picture after that.
Sure. Well, I had noticed at the beginning of the meeting that the one councilwoman who always reads a prepared reports and announcements didn't have any reports other than she was just explaining the rules for call to the public, which is at the end of the meeting. And bells and whistles went off, and I said, hey, they've changed these guidelines yet again. Didn't put them before council, didn't ratify them, no vote. They just changed them, and I knew something was up. I mean, the police chief had worked with the building official. They had removed chairs from the building and enforced the fire code for the first time in as long as I can remember. There had been about 200 people at the meeting before this, and at this meeting they only allowed 83 people in the building. They were keeping the aisleways clear. They had a police officer at each corner of the crowd, and then she reads this thing saying that the Common Council, under state law, has the power to subvert any rout, affray, disturbance, whatever. And then she reads these new guidelines for call to public. So I thought, oh, good. We're going to try something new again. I wonder what they've got planned. Well, the meeting.
Let me mention real quick that we're in a short segment before the bottom of
sure.
the hour. So just so we don't get sideswiped by the ads, but go on.
So I got it. And I was immediately, I think it was 30 seconds into speaking in a four-minute time slot, Councilman Winslow started basically saying, you know, you can leave or you can be removed. And
so you didn't even go over the time limit. I mean, you didn't even do that.
Oh no. I had 4 minutes. I was 30 seconds in. As soon as I said they were violating the open meetings law with their guidelines, you know, Winslow started screaming, you know, for me to that I was out of order in somehow way and have me removed. So the police grab me. The mayor starts telling the police that I have the floor and that they're out of order and to let me go. They let me go eventually for a minute after trying to pry the microphone from my hands. And I figure, well, I have the floor, so I'm not going to relinquish this microphone. This is my right. This is my time. And they backed off. And they sort of all settled down and tried to discuss whether they even could make a motion during calls to the public and such. And the mayor told me I could continue. So I started to talk about this proposed tax increase that this League of Cities and Towns had sent down the pike. And as soon as I started talking about the tax, they started yelling and screaming again, ordering the police to remove me from the meeting, which is what I thought was going to happen. I thought they were going to take me out the door like a couple of bouncers at a bar and make me peer through the glass outside and watch the remainder of the meeting. And instead, when they drug me out, they handcuffed me and gave me a traffic ticket and cited me for disorderly conduct. So I guess, you know, I was technically, even though was never told I was under arrest and I was never read my rights, from the moment they put the handcuffs on me, I was arrested. But in this scuffle, apparently something, I don't know what happened to my elbow. I take their word for it. They're the medical professionals that I'm supposed to follow up with this. But I was when they released me from police custody, they released me to the paramedics in the ambulance, which took me to the county hospital where they checked it out and told me I need to go back and follow up, and that's what I intend to do in a couple of days.
Yes, so, and you're supposed to be arraigned August 1st, I believe you said.
Yeah.
Okay, there's those messages. We'll be right back with more from Jennifer Jones on the Quartzsite, Arizona controversy. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Teravim. Teravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Teravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit teravim.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Returning to the show. And we're continuing this timely and important conversation with Jennifer Jones of Quartzsite, an independent journalist, as noted, and an activist there, really just a citizen trying to have an honest, accountable government. And June 28th, as we'd noted, she was only 30 seconds into a normally allotted citizen's comment, part of a public meeting. She didn't even go over the time limit, let alone was she hostile. She was very calm. But a hostile Councilman Winslow bellowed that she was out of order because she had the audacity to speak about protocol and to speak about a League of Cities and Towns proposed tax increase on this western Arizona community of about 4,000 people, though very heavily with tourists. Jennifer noted earlier in the show, it is a tourist area. At any rate, Jennifer, you were injured, medical people said, some torn ligaments from when the police were basically acting on the orders of Mr. Winslow, where the mayor has been sort of put out to pasture, stripped of his powers over time. And now you were technically arrested, at least. You'll be arraigned August 1st. Where does Ed Foster sit right now, the mayor that tried to stick up for you when you were removed from that late June meeting?
Well, it's kind of an odd situation. Because in the wake of this YouTube video and the meeting, the town started getting a lot of emails from people who were upset, and right so, and they declared they held an emergency secret meeting on a Sunday,
And that was a week ago yesterday?
Yeah. July 10th. About 11:30, police show up at the mayor's house and order him into the police car. Sergeant's wearing, like, tactical gear. He says, I'm not going anywhere with you on a Sunday and town hall's not open. So I'll tell you what, I'll go over to town hall and check it out, but I'm going to take my own car. He got on the phone, called several of us, said, somebody grab a camera and meet me at town hall. I don't know what's going on. When we arrived, we noticed the police had parked in back. We all walked up to the steps. They unlocked the door for the mayor. He could see the rest of the council, the town manager, the newly hired town attorney, the town clerk looking scared to death, sitting to take the minutes. And he said, this is an illegal meeting. I'm not going to take part in an illegal meeting. And so the sergeant locked the door on him, locked everyone out, and we had to press our cameras to the glass and our ear to the glass to hear and see what they were saying. And much to
let me get one thing straight. Locked Mayor Foster inside while locking the rest of you out?
No, locked Mayor Foster outside.
Oh, he was kept out.
Right.
They didn't force him to take part. They kept him out. Okay.
Yeah, they were going to bring him there for the meeting, but when he pointed out that the meeting had not, there was no posted agenda, and state law requires 24-hour notice and public notice that all meetings are public meetings and shall be open to the public. He said, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, none of the postings, none of the advance notice, right.
No, we never have meetings on Sundays. Very
unusual. Yeah, a town council meeting on a Sunday, unless it's something unusual, that's very rare in any state.
Well, and they do have the right to call an emergency meeting. However, three council members have to sign for it. And they have yet to produce, town hall has yet to produce that document showing who signed for them to even hold the meeting. But regardless of that fact, the minute they locked the door, the meeting was illegal.
How long did that meeting last?
I would say the meeting probably only lasted about maybe a half an hour or so at the most.
How long again? Your voice cut out a bit.
Sorry,
about 30 minutes. Some people are claiming that the town of Forsyth remains under a state of emergency. Is that true, or is that a little bit of hyperbole? In other words, was it just an emergency meeting, or are they in some sort of virtual state of emergency, even if it's not, you know, maybe extremely overt? What is the status now? Has that state of emergency outlasted July 10th? Is it still in that state in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. I mean, you would stop here for gas and drive through the town and not think anything of it. But what happens is, in the town code, when an emergency is declared, the power shifts to the town manager. Now, the mayor used to be in charge under the town code, but you have to remember they stripped him of that. So
that was one of the things they stripped him of, right, in that process you described earlier, right.
Exactly. So under their own agenda, wherein a year earlier they had set the stage to give the power to the town manager, they said, well, we're declaring an emergency because we've gotten threatening emails is what they alleged. But to this point, we have yet to even see any threatening emails, any evidence of this allegation. So,
yeah, I mean, one can assume that some people got rankled, but they haven't actually produced evidence, correct?
No. Even the numerous mainstream media that has come to town, I have yet to see one single news report that they've shown an email. They did show two blog posts, which had been printed off on paper and touched with a highlighter pen. But the blog posts were not direct threats. They were basically threats that, well, if they don't obey the law, and nobody else does anything about it, someone should take them out in the desert or something like that, you know. But no, there was no overt threat, I'm coming to get you or anything like that. There was just two offhand angry comments posted to different websites, but they have given no evidence that they've received an explicit death threat. And ironically, the mayor received a death threat last spring, but nobody shut the town down for that either. So therefore,
I mean, they could even make up some email if they wanted to produce one that said, oh, here's that direct threat. Who's to say that actually was received? Who's to say it's not being made up?
Absolutely. It's my understanding that there's been some confirmation that the police chief has been spending a lot of time with the IT tech and asking about emails, even deleting emails. Can it be done? How would you do it?
Let me get one thing straight, Jennifer. So if the power shifted in this sort of prefabricated way to the town manager, what's the town manager's name?
The town manager's name is Alexandra Taft, Alex Taft.
That's a woman?
That's a woman, yes.
Alexandra Taft. So is it essentially become a from a weak mayor to a no mayor town manager's form of government, not by proper procedure, but just by their own internal decree? I mean, they've basically just handed at least much of the authority to this town manager?
Pretty much. Well, they abdicated the checkbook to the town manager by declaring an emergency. In an emergency,
The town manager, therefore, I just want to get this straight, has the power of the purse now, primarily?
Yes, the town manager has the power to enter into contracts and to make expenditures without bringing those before the council before a vote. She is also...
My goodness, that's autocracy in the financial realm.
Absolutely. And she also is as the manager of the town, she and only she is in control of the town employees. The town council cannot speak or direct any of the town employees or engage in any sort of conversation with them about town business without going to her first. She's the in-between step. So she is the direct supervisor of the police chief, and they basically said, keep control and safety at town hall, at these meetings, that we authorize the town manager and the police chief to take whatever steps are necessary.
Now, has the police chief been handed more authority than he had, let's say, 3-4 months ago?
Well, it's been pretty clear that the police chief has answers to no one but the police chief or the town manager. At the meeting before the YouTube video on June 14th, we had another arrest for disorderly conduct because the Republican precinct committee woman was assaulted by a friend of the police chief. And even though this woman punched him in the stomach and another guy grabbed Mike by his shirt, they arrested Mike. And the crowd was a bit angry because 80% of our police force had filed formal complaints of criminal acts and ethical violations against the police chief with their union and asked our council to place him on administrative leave pending a complete investigation by the state police. And not only had the council refused to even show up to the special meeting the mayor called to deal with the situation, when they did have to come to the regular council meeting and sign the paychecks, and the union vice president, Mr. John Stair of AZ COP, Arizona Conference of Police and Sheriffs, he got up to give a presentation. Every member of the council walked off the dais and left basically no quorum on the dais and had an illegal quorum in the adjacent room twice during the meeting. Finally, Mr. Stair got to speak at Call to the Public and read his presentation, even though there was no one left in the room but the mayor and the town manager. Lack of a quorum had not been, there had been no roll call, nothing had been called to disband the meeting. So he gave his speech to no one but the mayor and the audience, and then immediately when he was done, the assistant town manager / building official snatched up the microphone and announced, "This meeting is over, town hall is closed. Everyone has to leave the building." Of course, he had no authority to do that. And this was also videotaped, and you can watch that on YouTube. So
you mentioned that one good place on YouTube I can't resist was the numeral 1 Q Town. If you put in those terms, 1 like the numeral, the letter Q like Quartzsite, Town, and enter that in YouTube, you'll see a lot of this. Is that right?
Yes, that's one of Doug Guilford, a local realtor here. He actually used to be on the other side, sort of this political argument. And the more meetings he attended, he sort of switched teams. And now he's officially, I guess, as we joke, a member of the Rogues and Scoundrels Club, because even though he and his wife had probably voted for these council people, he's now supporting the mayor, and he's been taping all the meetings and putting them up and filing complaints and trying to get some action. And he's very angry at what he's seen with our local government. But the irony is this police chief and these officers who are seen in this video should never even have been on duty. The police chief should, by our own procedures and policy manual for the town, been placed on administrative leave. So these
as 80% of his rank and file has requested.
As 80% has requested. I mean, when does that happen? 80% of your police force stands up at a council meeting and publicly gives a vote of no confidence and asks you to, at the bare minimum, place the chief on administrative leave pending a proper investigation, and they just get up
by the state police. And how long ago was that? When did that happen?
That happened sometime in May. I think what they did first was they sent a letter to the council, like in their box at town hall, asking for action. And then when no action was taken, then they tried to hold a meeting and talk to them, and they wouldn't show up.
Wow.
And then that happened. So we've been waiting for a couple of months now to actually find out what the chief may or may not have done. I have actually seen the complaints that these officers made, and I can tell you that I know their statements are true. I know they can be backed up. I even turned over evidence to back up their statements to the ASCOP's vice president to take to the state police. So I'm not going to print those things that impede in the investigation until the investigation is complete, because I'd hate to see something screw this up. But one of the allegations that's really most disturbing is that the council targeted myself, my husband, Mr. Roth, a couple of other people that ran for council. We have apparently all been run through the NCICC, federal databases, as did people who were registered to vote by Mr. Roth and were on the list as added as new voters.
My goodness.
Were people who signed recall petitions. Just people down at the post office who signed a petition to recall these people. Those names were systematically, allegedly, run through the NCICC just database. And now the entire community is saying, hey, do I have a federal number attached to my name? I want to know if I'm on that list. And if I am, I want a piece of this guy. So, you know, this is creating a huge public safety issue in the town right now.
And I got a comment. I mean, you've piled one thing after another in front of me. And as I write soon in American Free Press, a commentary I wrote that I might be updating, actually, before we go to press, I might give it another spin. At any rate, what you're describing here just makes me wonder how anyone could say that U.S. soldiers overseas are fighting to defend freedom when we all know about federal abuses, we all know about state abuses, but when localities behave like this, where people just write the rules as they go along and move meetings into other rooms and have quorums in adjoining rooms and then just come out and declare like they're the king of the world, this meeting is over, and, hey, we're going to have secret Sunday meetings, and, hey, we'll just do whatever we want. We'll just, if we don't like people, we'll put them on a rotisserie and roast them. I mean, where do these people get off behaving like this? Where, I don't see any inherent limits on their behavior. They seem to recognize no limit in their authority whatsoever. What they say is reality is reality. If they say the moon is purple, the moon is purple.
Well, and if it's not, they're going to find some way to either make you miserable so that you'll leave on your own, or maybe you'll leave in handcuffs, or maybe they'll negotiate a little something on the side and give you the contract for the hardware supplies for the town or whatever the case may be. But it's been a long-standing practice that the locals complain about, is that, you know, you can either be bought off or run off, or you better just keep your head down and not take sides. And the problem that we have is we're 2 hours from the state capitol in the middle of the desert near the California border. However, we're one tank of gas from Mexico, which has a lot of people scratching their heads and wondering what really goes on here that we may not know about. There's a lot of speculation as to why these people are clinging so tightly to a position that only pays a $300 a month stipend. I mean, normally people wouldn't act this nutty.
You just struck a nerve. Now, I worked in local government in Southwest Michigan for a year. Me and the clerk tried to do things right, and the rest of the township board was a reprehensible motley crew of miscreants that couldn't tell the truth if it literally meant their grandmother's life. The supervisor of that township wouldn't even tell the truth about what day it was if he could get away with it. These people were the enemies of truth. I'll refrain from mentioning which township and which county. But, you know, when you see local government acting this way, and you're absolutely right, they're not getting big salaries. They don't have some fiefdom to protect that in terms of money. They have other jobs, or they're retirees or semi-retired. What is it about a local seat like that that gets them so drunk on power? power. How could anyone be so easily seduced? Only a shallow person, I mean, amazingly, appallingly shallow person, could be seduced by such really relatively small authority. I mean, what is going on in their souls and their minds, and how could someone be so easily corrupted? I mean, you know, one penny's on the floor and they're diving for it. I mean, they're, you know, right out of the starting gate, they're a lost cause. I mean, what do we make of this?
We have a lot of speculation. There is a lot of patchwork of BLM land, even in within the town limits.
Hey, there's those messages. We'll get that theory out quickly after these advertisements. We'll be back with a little more from Jennifer Jones and some final thoughts from me. Please stay tuned.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Okay, we're returning to the air. And we're concluding our show here on July 18, 2011. We've had a very interesting discussion with Jennifer Jones, the noted activist and independent news writer from Quartzsite, Arizona, where she was arrested June 28 simply for speaking during the public comment section of a public meeting, an open meeting, and she's dealing with a government making up rules as it goes along, demonizing critics, throwing people like herself out of their meetings as they transform the government according to their own desires, almost like the mantra of the Fabian socialists. It's a disturbing situation. It's not, of course, unknown. Local government can be extremely tyrannical. I've experienced so much of that myself. Even for a year working in local government, I've seen it on the inside as well as from the so-called outside as a journalist myself. Jennifer, you were saying before the break, and we need to be kind of quick here. This last segment goes fast. You thought you saw maybe a bigger picture because we wondered why people in such a relatively small governmental position could be so taken with the authority and abuse it so easily.
Well, you know, there's that old adage about follow the money, and there's also the thing about real estate, location, location, location. I know that they anticipate extending Highway 95, which is, we sit right on the east-west corridor of Interstate 10 and the northwest corridor of I-95. So this particular location would perhaps make a great trucking or commodities hub. There's a lot of talk about two commercial-scale solar projects just north of town. We speculate that perhaps these incumbents know something about what the plan is for all this empty desert around us and that they intend to somehow financially benefit. I don't know if it's stocks. I don't know if it's contracts for construction. I don't know what it is. But there's something going on here that's incompatible with 200,000 snowbirds and RVs and a giant swap meet and a lot of people having fun. And the bottom line is Forsyth is a really fun town. We love it here, and we think it's worth fighting for. And what we really hope is that we're getting some traction with the state attorney general's office and maybe even with the governor if we can shame her into getting off her butt and doing something. And we hope to clean this mess up so that when the snowbirds return this fall, we can say, welcome back, and this time we really mean it. You know, I mean, we want to take back America one small town at a time is my motto. You know, this town is a metaphor for a lot of towns. And big politicians, they get their training wheels off in small government. So if you might not be able to control your federal government, but you could certainly at least participate in the process, go to your own meetings, see what they're doing before it happens and you wake up one day and it's too late. Find out what's going on. And maybe we can make some change in this country at a deeper level. I may not be able to clean up Washington, D.C., but I'm sure as heck going to do my best to clean up Quartzsite, Arizona. And I hope that, you know, if I can lead by example, hey, don't get yourself thrown in jail or if you can help it. But if it happens, it happens. I'm prepared.
Yeah, well, Jennifer Jones, thanks for being on here. That's the desertfreedompress.blogspot.com. That's her news outlet. Quick yes or no, do you do a hard copy publication as well, or are you only online?
No, I do a hard copy publication, 5,000 copies each issue. So I serve the county, and I also, we're very close to the California border. So it's a free publication. I give it away for free. You can't put a price on the truth.
The Desert Freedom, is that what it's called?
The Desert Freedom Press.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer, for being